If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to preach to you tonight on doorways, hallways, and gateways. Doorways, hallways, and gateways. 2 Kings chapter 4. Someone once told me, they said, when you preach somewhere and they ask you to come back, it's because of one or two things. Number one, because you did a good job and they enjoyed it. Or two, it's been long enough and they've just forgotten how horrible you were. I'm claiming the first. Tonight I want to talk to you about doorways, hallways, and gateways. And we're going to look at a story that's found there about a woman that we don't even know her name in this story. She is the unnamed woman. Have you ever been in a place before where somebody didn't know your name? Maybe you've been in a church service before, maybe even in a church like this where you come in and you sit in the front or the back or maybe on the side and you feel like nobody knows you and they don't know your name or anything about you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it really doesn't matter whether the person next to you or not knows your name. God knows your name, and not only does He know your name, but He's got your number tonight. Can you give him an amen and some praise for that? He knows everything about you tonight. And in this story of this woman, she went through three places in her journey that we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at the doorway. We're going to look at the hallway and then the gateway. And these stages that she went through, I think, are identification blocks where you may find yourself tonight. It may be a GPS for your life spiritually, where maybe you are at some crossroads, and some of you may have gotten lost on your journey before, and you're in a season of life tonight where maybe you're confused and you're wondering where you're at. Have you ever been in a place where you're lost and you're just kind of wondering where you're at? It's kind of like on a Friday night when I find myself at Hobby Lobby or Target with my wife and I ask the question, how did I get here and what am I doing here? What has happened on this Friday night? Well, whatever place you're in tonight, maybe it doesn't look like you thought it should look, or maybe there are some things in your life that you're handling right now and you're not really sure why you're handling it and what is taking place. And tonight, my prayer is that this woman's life, it'll bring some clarity to us. Anybody could use some clarity. And the stage of that we are in, we'll gain some wisdom. And like Brother Ken said, we'll know how to move forward in the place that God has us for the next stage that He has. So there's three stages that we're going to look at tonight called doorways, hallways, and gateways. And I believe that many of us are located in one of these tonight. This woman in this story, church, lived a life. She was prosperous, her and her husband. And she had a beautiful home, but the one thing about this story is that they did not have a family beyond her and her husband. They didn't have any children. And it was something that never happened to them, and I don't know whether she felt like she had the time on her hands, but there was a guy the Bible tells in the story that came through town, and she opened up her home, and she had a spare room in her house, and maybe it was because she didn't have any children, and she felt like she needed to do this or had the time to do it, but the Bible says that she made a place for him to stay, and she invited him to come in. She said, I would like to create some room for this man of God to come into my home. So you know what she did? She did like my wife does. She went down on a Friday night to Target and to Hobby Lobby, and all the women said, praise the Lord. She got her husband's wallet and marched on down, and she bought some furniture, and she set the room up real nice and put a table up, a new pillow sheets and bed sheets. You know how you love sleeping in those new fresh wash sheets, don't you? And she set it up real nice, and she created a space and invited this man of God into her home. And I just want to stop right here and tell you tonight that sometimes you and I can get to a place in our journey where we don't hear God talking to us because we haven't cleared any space for Him and invited Him in. We don't hear God because we haven't created any space or any room of our life. And sometimes we don't hear the voice of God in the doorway or the hallway or at the gateway, because when is the last time that you and I took the time to go home and clear out some space and invite Him in? Amen or oh me tonight. And there are going to be seasons in your life where you really need to go back home and you really need to hit the pause button. You really need to block everything out and you need to diligently and willfully, mindfully make some space for God, for Him to talk to you and you spend some time with Him. You know, we're in such a big hurry nowadays where everything is so fast-paced. You know, the Bible says to be still and to know that I am God. You cannot know that God is God and that He is speaking to you if we don't be still for a moment. I love these young people that were up here worshiping God. Don't you give them some love. Come on, give it up for them. Yeah, you bless my heart being up here. They had the basket out taking up cell phones before service, and I thought that was just awesome. And I kind of wanted to put mine in, you know. I kind of felt guilty. I was like, I might be checking Twitter or Facebook, you know. And it's so tempting to get your phone out, even in church, and just wonder what's going on outside this place. And it's even very simple things like that where maybe God wants to deposit something into your life and into your heart in a service like this, but because we can't be still and know that He is God. She cleared some space out for this man, and she did that, and because she did that, God was about to speak into her life. And I believe that God will speak if we just clear some room out. So this prophet was in their house, and because this prophet was in their house and invited in, he felt like he should bless this woman. And you can read with me on the screen or in your Bible tonight, 2 Kings 4:11, it says that one day Elisha came, and he went up from his room and he laid down. I love the Bible. That's one of my favorite verses. He lay down. I believe in taking naps. Oh, don't shout me when I'm preaching good. Did anybody get a nap today? Yeah, I didn't. I'm jealous. I believe in naps. He laid down and he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her and she stood before him. And Elisha said to him, tell her you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Speak on your behalf. Can we speak on your behalf to the kings or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. And Gehazi said, look, she has no son and her husband is very old. Verse 15 says, then Elisha said, call her. So she called her and she stood in the doorway. Everybody say doorway. She stood in the doorway, and about this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. So there it is, church. There's the doorway. This lady finds herself standing in a doorway where God has spoken a promise and says, this time next year, something is coming your way. She says, and look what she says here when she receives that promise. You would think that would be good news, but she says, no, Lord, no. No, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. You know, one translation says, don't get my hopes up again. Don't get my hopes up again. This is where some of us are at tonight. We're in a doorway where God has spoken a promise to us. He's laid something before us. He told us a plan. He's given us a word. And at one point we believed it and it did not happen or come through fruition on our own timetable. And maybe God tonight is reminding of you of that promise that He's once spoken. And maybe your reaction is like this woman in the doorway. And you say, no, God, not again. Don't get my hopes up just to be dashed on the rocks. Promises, hopes, and dreams that you've maybe boxed up and you've put away in the attic of your life spiritually and you've forgotten about them. But I believe that God wants to speak to you tonight about those things. Those things that you've hidden away and you say, I can't get my hopes up about it anymore. I can't get my hopes up about my son coming to know the Lord or my daughter. I can't get my hopes up about actually finally hearing some good news from a doctor's report. I just can't get my hopes up about it again. I've got two older brothers. My oldest brother is 10 years older than me. I'm 35, he's 45. His name is Greg. He was born with spina bifida. Which means he has a hole in his spinal cord, paralyzed from his waist down. He's had more surgeries on his back and his spine than you can count fingers on your hand. He's on dialysis. He goes 3 to 4 days a week where he gets hooked up to a machine and they circulate his blood. They clean it. He's got 2 kidneys in his body like you, except his are a little different. One is completely dead and shut down. It's got a centimeter, about a 5 to 6 centimeter kidney stone in his right kidney, and in his left it only works 35%. And now we just found out this past week that he's losing vision in his left eye. He went to an eye specialist at UAB at the Callahan Foundation in downtown Birmingham, and there are 2 things behind each cornea of his eyes, and now he's having to see another specialist to figure out what is going on with this sight. And it's just like, God, not again. I don't know how much more I can take it. Can we just be real? Have you ever been there before? Maybe you're there tonight. You're in that doorway and you know you're trusting God and you know God is a healer and you know God is a sustainer, but you're just like, God, don't set me up one more time. She was in a place where the baby they had once desired, she said, you know what? We've tried, we've believed, but it didn't happen. And somehow she had ran away and boxed up that dream of having a child, and she put it in the attic. And now she was in a doorway, and this man of God said to her, that hidden desire, that thing that once God spoke to you is going to come to pass. And her response was, please, Lord, don't get my hopes up again. Don't string me along. I'm not really sure if I can handle it. And God tonight is saying, that thing that I wrote down to you a long time ago, that promise, that family, that thing that I whispered to you, that loved one, that marriage, it is still there. It's not gone too far. And if you'll just bring it back out of the attic tonight, my word will be the final word. You're going to have to stand in the doorway of life sometimes and retrieve your dream and retrieve your promise. You're going to have to stand in the doorway and open up the boxes of possibilities and trusting the Lord once more. My other brother, Donnie and Carrie, they're associate pastors at Christway now in Gardendale. He's pastored before down in Bay Minette. And while they were in Bay Minette, they prayed and hoped to have a child for many, many years. They were married 10 years, and they tried and tried to have a child. And finally, Brother Ken, the Lord came through on His promise, and He gave them their first son, and he was born. Can you give God praise for that? Yeah. Little Madden was born into this world, but he only lived 13 days. 13 days he fought as hard as he could, and that little baby laid in that incubator. And he went on to be with Jesus, and I just think, God, how can you do that? How can you give a promise to somebody that is serving you, who's doing it the right way, who's doing it in holy matrimony, who's following you at your word and trusting you, and then you give them a son only to snatch him from this world 13 days later? Church, I'm reminded the words of Job when he said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, but may the name of the Lord be praised. May the name of the Lord be praised. Some of you are going to find yourself in a doorway in life sometimes where you're perplexed and you don't know what to do, and you're going to have to decide, what do I do in this moment? What do I do in this time? Let me tell you what Donnie and Carrie did. They buried Madden, but they didn't bury their dream and they didn't bury their promise. And now, 9 months older than my son is my little nephew Gavin, who is alive and well and doing good. And I believe that God's got a divine call on his life, and he is a blessing, and God will restore that promise. Will you give him praise tonight? Come on. What I've discovered about doorways, church, is that they always lead to hallways. When you open one, there's a corridor, there's a passage, and you're going to want to say amen now, because when I explain the hallway, you're not going to want to amen me too much. I have yet to go through a door that doesn't lead into a corridor, a passage, or a hallway. It's going somewhere, but you don't know quite where it's going. And you have to walk from the doorway to an entrance point. And, you know, we really don't like hallways. But I found sometimes in life that God gives us quite a few hallways to walk through. I found out sometimes He gives us short hallways, and sometimes He gives us long hallways. And then, church, I've really found out sometimes He gives us really long hallways to walk through. Has anybody ever been through one of those before? This woman was about to go down a hallway where she was going to receive her miracle, but her miracle of a son was going to take her in a hallway that was going to take her through a challenge that she didn't even comprehend that she was able to go through. And the story goes on that after the miracle baby arrives and he grows, that he actually, tragedy happens in the hallway. And one of the days, as the boy was in the field with the father, you can read with me on the screen in verse 19, it says, he said to the father, "My head, my head." His father told the servant, "Carry him to his mother." Isn't that just like a dad? When something's broke, go to your mother. She'll fix it. Verse 20, after the servant lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat him up on his lap, and then he died. This is the very reason that this whole lady shouted at that man in the doorway, "Don't get my hopes up. Don't come promising me something and then put it in my lap for it to die later, God. I don't want no part in that. I don't want you to set me up that way. Don't get my hopes up, God." This is the very reason that she wasn't willing to go into the doorway in the first place, because she wasn't able to control what was going to happen next. But you know, some of us in here are glorified control freaks when it comes to our life. Let me remind myself and you tonight, you are not in control of your life. God is after taking the control out of your hands so that you can see that all control will stay in His hands. And you might not understand the season that you're in right now because you feel like it's out of control. And she wanted to go about through a very confusing season and be in control of it. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll just trust Him, God is in control of your life. And some of you are in a doorway and you've gone through that doorway and now you're in a hallway and you're even more confused than you were before walking the hallway. You feel more misunderstood than you've ever been misunderstood in your life. And you're not really sure what's going on. And here's what I want you to see. She's about to walk her hallway, and she's about to walk it with great style, as we read in this story. She goes through her doorway, and she gets her promise, and that promise it falls on the rocks, but she's about to walk down that hallway in great strides and in great style. And I think that we all can learn some things of what to do and what not to do in the hallway. I kind of reckon that this chick kind of went to the same high school I did growing up. I went to Mortimer Jordan High School up until my sophomore year. I spent my last 2 years at Chelsea. But when I was at Mortimer Jordan, it was just sort of a different kind of school. It was back in the day when you could do things that you sure as heck can't do now. Pardon my vernacular, but that's just the truth. And I remember we had a principal named Jimmy Trotter, and he could whistle. Can anybody whistle in here? Give me a whistle. Come on, give me a... Yeah, thank you, brother. He'd whistle. And he would call you out down in the hallway when you were acting a fool, doing something you didn't need to do. And I tell you what he would do is, when you acted up, he would take you in his office and he would break the paddle out back when you could paddle, kids. It's still okay to get a whipping, okay? I got plenty and I turned out all right. And he would wear your bottom out. And if you were busting a sag, he would pull you up and duct tape your pants around you. If you didn't have a belt, he would make you buy yarn and put it around your belt and then pay the school for the yarn. Can we just give Jimmy Trotter some praise right now? Come on. Give it up for that man. Clearly, You have to abide by some rules when you're walking in the hallway. And it was very much like the rules given at the school I went to growing up. We had rules in the hallway. And one of our rules in the hallway in the building is that some of the hallways, it was an old school, were extremely narrow. So you couldn't carry any book bags around with you. You only could go to the locker and get the book that you needed for that next class and then go on. You didn't need to be carrying a whole lot of baggage through the hallway. Do you see where I'm going with this tonight? Because if there's one thing that baggage does in the hallway, it clutters up the hallway. And it slows down the traffic from flowing. Spiritually, it's the same way in God's hallways. If you're in a season of a hallway and you're in a place that you can't articulate and understand and know what is going on around you, you need to know the number one rule that God is saying: when I'm taking you through a hallway, there is no baggage in the hallway. She knew this rule because her son had died. I mean, talk about the moment of confusion. Talk about the moment where you can go into full-on panic. And look at verse 21. Look at what it says. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she shut the door and she went out. She laid her baggage back down. What she decided to do was pick up that situation and that problem and take it right back to the place of promise. I'm going to take my problem back to where the promise was made, and that they said I was going to have a son, and I'm going to take my distress and I'm going to put it back on the place of hope. I'm going to take what happened that I don't understand, and I'm going to take it back to the place where there was clarity and I did understand. We have to learn to pick up the dead things and pick up the broken things and pick up all the pieces that have fallen apart, whatever is going on in your life, instead of we have to give it back to God, and instead of doing drama all the time. You know, this story is biblical proof that this woman of God can live her life without a bunch of drama in it. You know what we like to do when something happens in our life, Brother Ken? We like to let everybody know about our drama. Yeah. You know, there's an old saying that says, save the drama for your mama. That'll preach. We like to put it on Twitter. We like to Periscope it, Instagram it, Facebook it, Facebook it some more. And we like to go, look at my situation, everybody. Look what happened to me. Look at my scars. Look at all this. And we like to share the drama. But this girl, she was a drama-free chick. What we need to do is we need to learn that we don't need to hold on to that drama. We don't need to hold on to that baggage. Some of us tonight, we're going around with a whole bunch of baggage to show to everybody in the hallway, and it's slowing things down of what God wants to do in your life. Let me tell you, as you go around with your baggage and you show it, you're not getting any further down your hallway. You're delaying your own destiny. I just love the fact that here in her clear emotional state, she had the present mind to pick it up and take it to the place of promise and to lay it back down and to shut the door. And even though she didn't know what was going on right then, she said, I'm going to go find the man of God who knows what to do. If you're carrying baggage tonight, it's time to lock it away until God speaks over it, until God is ready to move on it. Stop carrying around that baggage, because it is weighing you down and it's not helping you move forward and it's making you more confused than you need to be. And as she laid the baggage down, it leads me to know that she clearly knew the second rule about the hallway in verse 22. It says, she called her husband and said, please send me one of those servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God and quickly return. And look what the husband says in verse 23. This shows you how boneheaded he was. Why go to him today? He didn't even know what happened. And look what she says. He said, is it not the new moon of the Sabbath? She said, it's all right. It's okay. I just don't even right now. It's okay. It's all right. It wasn't all right. The boy died. It was far from all right, but she was like, it's cool. It's okay. Because the second rule of the hallway that she knew is that there's no talking in the hallway. No talking in the hallway. Here's what I know about hallway conversations. Oftentimes when you're in a season of life and you don't really know what's going on and you're in a transition and things are changing and you can't find your way and you feel like you want to talk, but really you're not in a place to talk. You're confused and you're hurt and you're mad and you're tired. There's nothing wrong with those feelings. We're all human. But sometimes you just feel betrayed, and sometimes you just feel overlooked and unfair and mistreated. And in the hallways, it's so tempting just to stop and say, hey, do you know what happened to me? It's so tempting to stop and share, let me just tell you about this. But I've also found that the conversation in the hallways, because hallways are a place of movement, conversation can travel. You better know if you share your troubles with somebody that it ain't going to travel on down the hallway. You better be careful who you bleed on. It's kind of like the three pastors I heard who went fishing one day together. They were out in the middle of water on a boat fishing, and one pastor struck up a conversation, and he said, "Guys, we don't really have anybody to talk to personally." He said, "Let's share some of our struggles." The first pastor said, "Okay, I got a gambling problem. I'll skip on over across the state line. I'll throw some money down, and that's what I do." Pastor said, "Okay, well, I've got a little bit of a drinking problem. I'll go across the county line, and I'll go up to the bar, and I'll have a few drinks." And they both looked at the third pastor, and he said, "Well, what about you? What's your struggle?" And he said, "Man, I got a gossip problem, and I can't wait to get off this boat." Some of us are having coffee breaks in the hallways, and God is like, "You just need to trust me. I need you to hold your peace at this time and just trust me. And during this time, I need you to keep moving." And those conversations are holding you back and they're confusing you. And it's time to just be quiet in the hallway and to trust me. And she carries on down her hallway and she says that it's okay. And she says, "Get me a donkey." And she gets on that donkey. And I believe she had spurs. And she saddled up on that thing and she said, "Ride 'em, cowboy." She's probably from ancestors from Alabama, I bet. She said, "Don't stop. Don't slow down. And if I fall off, don't worry. I'm going to cling on to this donkey because I'm going to my future and I'm going to the promise of God." And she took off because she knew the third rule of the hallway. The third rule is simply no wandering in the hallway. She knew that she needed to ride that donkey and she needed to get. And you can't just wander around in the hallway and be like, I used to love to wander around in the hallway. I was a professional wander-arounder in the hallway. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go to the water fountain. I had little routes that I would run and I would just wander around wasting. Don't take notes and don't listen to what I'm saying tonight on this part, okay? You do not want to do that. Here's the thing. Here's something else about hallways that I know. You're not supposed to live in a hallway. Some of us have made temporary places your permanent address. You're making a temporary season, a permanent statement over your life right now. And some of us have unpacked our life in a hallway, and God says, "No, you need to keep moving through that. You don't need to settle down." And the temptation is there because sometimes we don't know where the door is. We don't know where the exit's at. And we just get really tired in the hallway sometimes. And sometimes our hallways can be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. Those really long hallways. And you just say, "You know what? I'm just going to camp out here in this hallway. I think I like it after all." And we move in our family, and we move in our kids, and we move in our recliner, and we just kick back in the hallway. And before you know it, we're tempted to pull up that chair and kick back in the recliner. And we say, "Yeah, this will do. I kind of like this hallway. It's not where I thought I'd be, Brother Ken, but it'll do." And some people tonight have been living in a hallway like that's God's best for your life, but I'm here to tell you tonight that hallway that you've been walking through is not where God has called you to stay, and it's not what He has planned for your life. He has good and mighty and great things planned for your life, and if you believe and receive that tonight, will you give Him a good ovation of praise? She said, "Get me a donkey and make it a fast one. We got to go. I'm not staying in this hallway." And tonight I need some of you to start moving down that hallway in your life. If they'll come play, I'll bring it down to a close here if I hear some music. That'll make me feel a little more spiritual and I'll bring the plane down for a landing. Some of you tonight need to get back up and you need to get out of the recliner and the seat in your hallway and you need to keep marching towards the promise that God has called you. Stop letting the enemy give you an address that God never gave you. Verse 27, you can read with me. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and not told me why." Don't overlook this part of the story, church. This was the man of God. This was the man that knew God's business. He would go around telling people what God wanted the people to hear, but on this particular occasion, God did not tell him what was going down. And there's something that I want you to understand about the doorway and the hallway and the gateways of your life. You need to understand, because God wants to get you and I to a place where in our own journey that you and I on our own with Him articulate where we're going in our life. There's times that I wish somebody would have came and grabbed me by the hand and just showed me the way, but God says, you're going to have to pick yourself up by the bootstraps, and with me and you, we're going to find the way. So they went back, and the story goes that he resurrected the boy. Great miracle of resurrection took place in that very room where she left the problem. And I'm telling you that God can resurrect any problem that you face tonight, and any promise that you think is laying dormant in the spiritual, God can bring it back to life tonight. And that's not the end of the story. We think it is, but it's actually not. There are not only doorways, there's not only hallways, but there's one more thing called the gateway. You ever been through something before and you just kind of wondered, why in the world am I going through this? What was that all about, God? Is it only me tonight? I didn't feel you. I didn't see you. I didn't smell you. I didn't sense you. Why did I have to go through that, Lord? You know what I've discovered with God? None of us in this life are immune from sorrow. But if we have eyes to see it, God will take a seed from every sorrow and He'll plant it into your tomorrow. He'll extract something from your pain and He'll put it into your future. He will not let anything in your life be wasted or squandered. He'll retrieve it and He'll use it. Even when you don't know why you walk through it, you'll come face to face with people who are walking through the same thing that you walk through, and the light will go off and say, God, now I get it. I'm the arms to embrace them. I'm the shoulder to cry on. I'm the hand to hold them. And I'm the prayer to pray over them when they don't feel like praying. The king, after 7 years of famine, it says in chapter 8 that this lady had to leave her home because of 7 years of famine. Leave her family and friends, and she left it all, and she worked a while, and then 7 years later she wanted to come back home, and she goes back to her land, and she knows the only thing that she can do is go before the king and make a request. This big request, some little old lady just going up to a king and saying, hey, I'd like my land back. And there was no guarantee that it was going to work for her, that she was going to get any of it back. But she walks up to that gateway to the king's palace. And just at that time that she shows up all these years later at the king's gateway, she happens to be having a cup of tea with Gehazi. And he says in verse 4, the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. She said, tell me about this great things that Elisha had done. Just as Gehazi was telling the king what Elisha had restored this dead boy back to life, the woman whose son was there, she came up to the gateway and she said, that's the lady. This is the lady that I'm telling you this story about right there. And the king said, bring her up here. I'm going to assign an official to your very case, and I'm going to give you back everything that belonged to you, including some of the income from her land from that day that she left until the day then. Amen. Let me tell you, church, don't stop before you get to your gateway. Gateway is God's way of paying you back. Keep moving through the doorway. Keep walking down that hallway, because there is a gateway that only God Himself can orchestrate. God will not waste any season of your life. I don't know where this finds you tonight, church, but I know that God finds you here. And your GPS may be telling you tonight, I've been in a doorway. There's been a promise. There's been something spoken to me, and I've let it go. I've forgotten about it, and I haven't really believed it like I once did. But tonight, the word of the Lord is rekindling that promise and reestablishing that promise for me. Or maybe you've been in a hallway and you've been walking down that hallway holding on to God's unchanging hand. Let me just encourage you, keep on marching down and walk with dignity, walk with pride, walk with Jesus down that hallway, because there is a gateway that is coming. Will you stand with me all over the church tonight? Will you stand with me? And very reverently, can we just lift a hand to heaven and worship Him? Father, we love You. We bless You, Jesus. We bless You. We bless You tonight, God. We bless You. We bless You. We bless You tonight, Jesus. We worship You. We worship You. Come on, speak His praises tonight, church. Just love on Him for a moment. God, we adore You. We adore You. Lord, we don't understand. We may not be able to figure it out tonight. We may be tired and weary on a dark, gloomy night, but we're in Your house tonight, God, and we're putting our faith in You tonight, Lord. And whatever doorway You have Your people at tonight, whatever hallway You are leading them down, I pray tonight, God, You remind them that there is a gateway that is before them. There is a gateway of promise and of hope, and only Your hand is orchestrating it. I believe, God, that Your angels are setting it up. The promise is on the way, just like the sacrificial lamb, God. It will pop out at the right time, at the right moment, for the need, in Jesus' mighty name.